Great, and you. Thank you for taking the time.
No, my pleasure, man. I've just been rolling all over the country, getting on and off of flights and trying to catch at least 3 hours of sleep a night. So I'm sorry I've been tough to get a hold of, but it's good to talk to you as well.
Oh, no problems. I've been seeing the press releases. A lot's going on. My first question was, with such an exciting first season and, you know, you established champions for Bellator, even had a semifinal fight with a finish that won submission of the year, everything seemed to go so well. What are you most excited about going into this second season?
You know, probably the competitive level of the fighters, probably the level of the competition that we're bringing to the table this year. I mean, I'm a huge, huge believer, Alvin, in the fact that, you know, that really the best should fight the best to determine who becomes champion and who becomes a number one challenger or who earns the right to fight for a title. I think as a fan, when I take my CEO hat off, the thing missing from the fighting game for me was that level of objectivity, the ability for guys to step into the cage and ultimately determine how much they're going to make, how often they're going to fight, if they're going to be on TV, and if they're going to get a chance to fight for the world title. So the level of competition going up, Joe Warren, Ben Askren, Hornbuckle, Wallhead, Patricio Pitbull, Hayes Back. I mean, just there's these fighters that we've got on board now that are just really exciting. I mean, to say nothing of Roger Huerta. You know, I mean, it just we've got some really, really talented guys stepping into the cage, and as a fan watching the game, that's what's going to be exciting for me, is that every week there's going to be a really good fight on that if I wasn't part of Bellator, I'd probably stay home anyway to watch.
So you have this tournament set up, which is great because, you know, people do control their own destiny to some degree. It makes for regularly scheduled programming and you know, and also for sports fans who like seasons like March Madness, it's kind of a similar feel. Was this tournament style at the very beginning of your first concept of Bellator, or did that start to work in?
It was at the very, very first concept of Bellator. I just, my initial, you know, I spent a lot of years in the boxing business. And one of the things I really, really disliked about the boxing industry was that there was such subjectivity. You know, promoters absolutely controlled with an iron fist who got a shot at the world title and who got the big events and who got the big paydays. And the network dictated what fighters would be allowed on television and which wouldn't. There's absolutely no objectivity and no ability for fighters to control. You know, it's just there's that false sense of a guy having to be 20-0 or 24-0 before he's even taken seriously. And there's just this non-real sport format that guides the entirety of the sport. And I just felt like, you know, MMA was something that was a passion for me. It was something that I would, you know, watch on TV. It was something that I would buy the pay-per-views to watch, and it was something I would buy tickets to go see. And I thought, you know, what I would really like to see as a fan and then ultimately as a CEO of a company was, you know, how do you bring objectivity to it? And that was the whole kind of genesis behind what I created at Bellator is, look, the point of difference here is not going to be, you know, fighters walking out of the mouths of flaming dragons like some other former groups that are no longer with us did, or girls, you know, girls dancing on poles or some crazy whacked out team concept. It was about how do you, from a fan's perspective, from those of us who used to watch, you know, Hoist fight long ago, how do you make it better? How do you make it stronger in terms of complete objectivity and complete transparency? You know, fighters fight and winners move on and losers don't. And that's what we see in the NFL, and that's what we see in March Madness, and that's what we see in Major League Baseball, and that's what we see in soccer. So, you know, I mean, that's been buzzing around in my head for many, many, many years. It's just, you know, finally I was able to team up with the right investment partners and the right team and the right marketing people and put it into motion. And, you know, most importantly, the right television partners. But, that's been – there was never a thought of doing this without that being kind of the central the driving force behind it.
That actually leads right into my next question. I was going to ask about your television partners. Last year you had ESPN Deportes. This year, I believe we got Fox Sports Network, which reaches about 92 million homes in the U.S., The Score in Canada, and recap shows on Telemundo and NBC. That's a pretty large feat for second year of a promotion. What was it like securing these networks, and was pay-per-view ever a concept, even if it was just pay-per-view for tournament finals?
Sure. It was a tremendous amount of work is what it was. It was a lot of work and a lot of meetings and a lot of discussions. You know, some of the success that we enjoyed in season number one with ESPN in terms of ratings and in terms of fan response and in terms of really showing television broadcasters all over the country and the world that this could be carried off, that MMA could be done on a weekly basis live, that MMA could be could go from location to location to location, you know, with literally 4 days between production setups. And it was all capable of working. And a lot of people came to me when I was, you know, when I was presenting the concept to ESPN and said, that's going to be extremely difficult to do. How are you going to carry that off? Well, I had done it for many, many, many years before, and I knew the team I needed to put around me to be able to carry it off, both in terms of operationally, in terms of commission integration, you know, matchmaking team, fighter, you know, procurement specialists, et cetera. So, you know, it was that was really, you know, the catalyst to what we're doing is getting those events off week after week after week, and having it on an enormous distribution platform. So, you know, that success on ESPN led to some great open doors with you know, FSN, with the NBC Universal family, with NBC and Telemundo. With the Score and with many other, you know, networks around the world, and you know, we have an awful lot of content. We've got we have 24 events going on before Halloween, so we have a lot of content, and the content is exciting, and it progresses the right way, and it's tournament based, and every event actually means something and goes somewhere. So it was the right fit from a television perspective. When Bellator was created, we were looking at it and saying, hey, the important driver in this space is TV. So you have to be on television repetitively week in and week out if you want to be able to make an impact in the game and develop superstars. So how do you create a format that works for the fighters, works for the fans, and works for the television networks? And that was what I had tried to put together business-wise.
On another business note, this year you've added some notable sponsors. Can you tell us about them?
Yeah, absolutely. We were very, very fortunate to form a really terrific strategic alliance with Ultimate Bet. You know, we're going to be, in addition to them obviously being advertised on our shows and on the mats and on the bumpers and in TV ads and opening and closing billboards and a lot of different extensions, we're going to be working together strategically in terms of, you know, their web presence and their outreach in terms of a database which exceeds about 12 million people who are demographically targeted and really, really great key people to be talking to in terms of tune in for a mixed martial arts telecast and or buying tickets to an MMA event. You know, they're a terrific, terrific group to be working with. And then, of course, you know, Everlast. And Everlast is, you know, really the best known and the most authentic name in fighting sports equipment in the world over the last 100 years. They've made a magical and very smooth transition into the world of MMA. The authenticity that they bring to things, the qualitative levels that they require and demand of their own manufacturing base is really at a very high level. They've been unbelievably terrific to work with. They're going to be producing a co-branded line of Bellator and Everlast equipment so that you're going to be able to buy gloves and pads and headgear cages and the like. You know, so that's a terrific alliance, and of course they reach fight fans in a way that very few companies do, and they've got an enormous, enormous reach. They've got a lot of retail extensions, so we're thrilled to have them on board. You know, I used to work with Everlast when I was in the boxing business, mm-hmm. and the gentleman that I was working with that was my point person, a guy by the name of Adam Geisler, is now the president of Everlast. So it's very cool. He was, you know, years ago when I was running my boxing company, he was the point guy that worked with my company, and now he's the head of the company. And it's just it's a very cool transition. It's nice to have relationships like that that, you know, my relationship when I was working with Adam Geisler and Everlast years ago worked well, and it was good enough that when I came back to him and when we met back up when I was running Bellator, it was a very easy transition to make, and they were very excited about it, as are we.
And so a couple more questions. One was I was at the Bellator 11 and saw Lyman Good win the welterweight title. It was a great production. And for anyone who hasn't seen a Bellator fight as of yet, or should I say whole fight card, what can they expect? Because it was it definitely had a different vibe. It wasn't all about, as you mentioned, you know, some of the, like, you know, the girls dancing and this and that. It was like there seemed to be true fight fans, a lot of people from different fight schools. And I just want you to paint a picture of what the event's like.
Yeah, we, you know, I'm a really, really firm believer, Alvin, that your live event is really the centerpiece of everything that you're doing as a company producing fighting sports. So if your live event doesn't kill, if your live event isn't entertaining and doesn't grab people's attention and doesn't energize them at the live event, the potential of you doing that on television is extremely slim. You know, there are a few companies who have done a masterful job at live event promotion and production over the years, and I've watched them with great, great interest, because your live event really should leave people walking out of the arena almost kind of gasping for air, like, whew, wow, that was exhausting. You know, like it was just coming at them, like trying to get a drink out of a fire hose. So, you know, what we do is when you come to a Bellator live event, it's got, you know, the transition between fights happens very quickly. There isn't that long, hardcore downtime that you see at a lot of fight events. There's a series of big screens located throughout the entirety of the arena so that at any given moment, no matter where you are, whether it's grabbing a T-shirt or grabbing a beer or getting up or walking or if something obstructs your view, you can turn your head the smallest amount and you can see huge big screens, full-color HD broadcast of exactly what's going on in the cage. There's big music. The lighting truss and the lighting setup is extremely large and really paints a picture and gives a clarity to both our broadcast and our live event audience. It's terrific. It moves quick. It's a quick-moving experience. What I try to do from a production standpoint of a live event is I try to give fans at the live event arena an experience that is analogous to the experience you would have at home around all your friends. There just happen to be 5,000 to 10,000 more friends there. It's moving quick. It's transitioning quickly. Everything seems seamless. There isn't dead and downtime. It needs to move, because as a fight fan, that's what I expect. When I go to an event and I pay, you know, whether it's $30, $60, $90, $100, or $500 for a ticket, I expect that show is going to be something special. I don't expect that I'm wallpaper for a TV audience. I expect that what I get to experience is cool and it's exciting and it's invigorating, and that's, you know, that's what we try to do. And you know, that's not an easy thing to do in the fighting sports because you can't script any of it. It's not like a football game or a basketball game where you know exactly how long it's going to last and that clock is counting down and boom, you know, you can pin it to the minute. In a in any kind of a fighting event you've ever watched, you know, the fights can end super quick. Fights can go the distance. Fights can go unexpectedly long or unexpectedly short. A lot of different things can happen. So you've really, from a live event production perspective, you've got to be on your toes. You've got to be ready, and you've got to have a great team in terms of, you know, basically live event producers with you that are orchestrating it right down to the letter between music and lighting and highlight videos and movement of fights, et cetera.
It seems similar to setting up a large concert in effect as far as the amount of people needed for production.
Oh, yeah, we travel, I have a 42-man traveling core production team.
Wow.
Yeah, so wow. We're, you know, lots of trucks, lots of lights, lots of music, lots of editing bays. I mean, when you go backstage at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino or at the Chicago Theater or, you know, any of the different locations we're at this year, it's a pretty elaborate setup in terms of the number of people who have to come together under one unified banner to put together a live two-hour show. You know, it's a good undertaking.
All sounds incredibly exciting, and I definitely look forward. Located in Boston, so I'll definitely be at the Boston, Connecticut events. And I just wanted to ask, are there any other big announcements, signings, or venues? I think there was a breaking thing about Mohegan Sun today.
Yeah, we just re-upped again with Mohegan. We did two great events with Mohegan last year. We're going to be back with them this year. You know, obviously, we've already announced the first ever Madison Square Garden promotional partnership in mixed martial arts a few weeks ago. We've got the Cordish Group Alliance done, the Hard Rock, the Seminole Hard Rock deal done for four events. You know, there's been a lot of really exciting stuff going on. But there's, you know, the real magic starts on April 8th on Fox Sports Network when, you know, Roger Huerta steps into the cage and Joe Warren steps into the cage and Georgie Karkanian faces off against Bao Quach and the like. Those are going to be, that's when the real magic starts.
Oh, that sounds great. We'll definitely be tuning in. Thank you very much for your time. That was great.
Yeah, no, this is cool. I just, you know, I love it, man. I'm blessed. I've got an opportunity to get paid to do something that I would otherwise pay to do. So I'm in a pretty cool spot.
I'd say so, definitely. It's great to see, you know, definitely to see a CEO be a fan and be willing to look from both sides of the spectrum. That does a lot for the sport.
Yeah, I hope. I just, you know, I'm one of those firm believers. I think it's the greatest sport on earth, man. I just, you know, I mean, my wife looks at me like I'm the world's biggest idiot. All I watch is, like, Versus and Spike and Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, dimwit, how about turn it on CNN for a second? I'm like, no, I want to watch that Uriah Faber fight for the 19th time on Versus.
Exactly. He breaks his hand in this one. Like.
Yeah, exactly. And I can tell you, it's like watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I can tell you exactly what Uriah is going to do and when. So.
Exactly. Yeah, no. Yeah, I think there's a ton of people. I think there should be a support group for guys where, you know, that everyone in their family is like, what are you watching? What's this all about?
Exactly. You got it. I'm one of those guys. So.
Same here. Same here. Well, great. Thank you very much. And truly, again, appreciate your time.
Hey, my pleasure. It's good talking to you.
Great talking to you, too.
Harvey, I'll talk to you soon.